Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Catch Nick and Bill anywhere you go.
I mean, we say it all the time, whether, you know, there's two types of turds, you're a sinker.
And just pounding people.
For your floater.
I don't have words.
But you're still a turd, right? I mean.
Shatanaga, or however you say their name.
Stream the show live on ESPNLincoln.com. Now, back to the show.
A drinker, who's for breakfast, an insure for dessert. Somebody order pancakes.
Welcome back in the Greg Ethan Hucks. Happy hump day. Happy day before Thanksgiving. And as always, special treat, Jameson Wells, basketballnews.com. Jameson, how are you?
Doing well. Thanks for having me, as always. Definitely appreciate it.
Absolutely. Day before Thanksgiving, what's prep like for you as you're embarking on that holiday that it's like sweatpants, we get sports, and we get the new edition of some college basketball, all kinds of good stuff. What's the prep work that you're getting ready for right now?
For me, it's just traveling, because I live in a different state than my family does. So I go back home to Southern California and just show up. I really don't have to prep anything or do anything. I just show up and food is there, so it's all good. There's no complaints for me.
What's the favorite side dish at Thanksgiving?
Mac and cheese and probably dressing.
Those are a lot of people don't do the mac and cheese that I've heard, but mac and cheese is one of ours as well, and it is amazing with turkey.
It is. You can't have one without the other. It just doesn't go well.
Absolutely. Hey, Jameson, before we get in the NBA, we get college basketball back. How exciting is that for you? And what are the teams? Obviously, you got the names at the top, but what teams will you be watching?
All the good ones. Duke, Carolina, Kentucky, Kansas, UCLA, all the main ones. College basketball is so different now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not necessarily teams anymore. It's almost like you're watching players, because the one and dones and the guys that are there, those are the guys you're watching. I mean, Gonzaga is so good talent-wise. They might be the best team in the country. This is like the first time they've had like maybe several one and dones or several pros on the roster that might get drafted in the same year. You know, so it's a little bit different than past years. Tennessee's very good. You know, they're not a traditional basketball power, but they're very good. So it's just one of those situations where it's a mixture of the brand itself and also the players, because there's so many good players entering this year, which is going to equal a really good NBA draft class.
Jameson, when you look at it, obviously every sport has been dealing with the pandemic right now. Do you think a lot of people have thought that it's going to be really hard? We've seen cancellations of college games. We've seen postponements of NFL games. You have shortened rosters. Do you anticipate this being one of those things where it's going to be super hard to get a season in for whatever it looks like for college basketball?
It's going to be extremely hard because you're not in a bubble. And we know how college kids operate. We know how things go. And it's just, you know, they're always in contact with other people. So it's not like, all right, they're always isolated. They're always around different students, different faculty, et cetera, et cetera. So during the season, it's going to be very difficult for them to get through a full season. However, if they're able to get through, let's say, like 60% of their games that they have scheduled, there's enough body of work to form a tournament, and that's what's going to happen. March Madness is going to happen. They're going to put everybody down to Indianapolis and figure it out and make it work. But, yeah, March Madness will happen. It'll be different than ever before, but it will happen. I'm just very curious to see how many games are canceled, how many games are played, and how that's going to all shake out. You still got to get 68 teams. But, yes, it is going to happen. I would bet money that March Madness does happen this year.
You know, that was my next question. Glad you led me right into it. Was March Madness, because college basketball, we've talked about this. If college – they cannot afford on the money side to not have two seasons without March Madness. I believe if that were to happen, and I'm with you, it's going to happen. They're going to make every effort – and go above and beyond, because if they don't, college basketball could crumble as we know it.
Yeah, you can't go 2 years without March Madness. You got to have March Madness. Now, with that being said, they're talking about having it in Indianapolis. That's where the NCAA headquarters is. There's a bunch of gyms down there, a bunch of colleges down there. They can bubble up down there, and they can make it work. Like, that's the plan as of right now. Things do change, but that's what they're talking about right now. So we'll see what happens. And, of course, with March Madness, it's a single elimination situation. So if you win, you stay. If you lose, you go. That's not a bad thing, but we'll see. And also, it'll be a lot quicker, too. It won't be over 3 weeks. It'll probably be over, like, 10 days of games. So we'll see how it goes. We're definitely going to have so much money to be made, and there was so much money lost last year for it not to go down this year.
Again, we're speaking to Jameson Wells, basketballnews.com, at the THE Jameson on Twitter. Jameson, jumping NBA. It's been an active free agency period right now with a bunch of stuff, deals being signed. What can we say about what our Lakers have done, man? They have gone out and I believe looked like they have bolstered that roster when you add Schroeder, Harrell, Wesley Matthews being added there, and signing Mark Gasol.
Well, they didn't get content. You know, a lot of teams win a championship and get content. You know, obviously, namely the Raptors of last year. You know, they won a championship. They lost Kawhi. They were not aggressive in bringing more talent on. You know what I mean? They weren't more aggressive to try to get more talent to improve their roster. They were content with bringing it back. There's nothing wrong with that, but when you have a window in the NBA, you got to take full advantage of it. How many times do we see a team's window just close on them? The Celtics had all these draft picks. They had all these players, nothing to show for it. And you got to have something to show for when you have a window of opportunity. The Lakers are gearing up for probably the next year or so in terms of trying to put together the best team in the league, you know, 1 through 12. And that's huge because you want to have a balanced roster. You don't want to rely on one player to do everything every night. You want to be able to make sure that, you know, LeBron and AD are going to carry you in the playoffs. That's what they're there for. Mm-hmm. But the regular season, you want the guys, the Montrezl Harrells, the Schroeders, you know, those guys go do the heavy lifting during them because they're regular season players. Those guys, they're really good when the energy's low or you're in a weird town and you're just trying to get through the game. Those guys are the constant energy guys that are going to play really, really well during the regular season. But you got two of the best five players in the league. You want to be able to ride them in the playoffs, and if you have great seating, that's the perfect combination.
James, I've been asked a lot, and I know you're tapped in with this. No worries about Anthony Davis re-signing the Lakers. Absolutely not worried about that. Do you think that deal is just it's the years, and it's probably not the money, but the years more than anything. Do you see that being kind of tied into where LeBron stands right now?
More than likely. I mean, he also has a situation where at the 10th year, he can get 35% of the cap. So it's not necessarily smart to sign a five-year deal right now. It just doesn't make any sense. But also, he doesn't need to lock himself into a long-term situation again because of what happened in New Orleans. You know, he was locked into a situation there. They built a terrible team, and he only got to the playoffs like twice in 7 years. He doesn't want to go to that again. So he's smart to be like, hey, you know what? I'm going to re-sign, but it's not going to be for the full 5 years right now. I need to see who's around me and how we can get this thing better to go forward. So that's smart, isn't it? You know, he has leverage. He's a very, very good player, and he has the right. He's never been a free agent. So he has that right to do whatever he wants to do in this situation.
Hey, Jameson, there's been a lot of deals signed, max deals. There's some contracts being given out, some eye-openers out there. Kind of rate the ones. You got Brandon Ingram, who got the big five-year deal. Van Fleet gets the four-year deal to stay up in Toronto. Gordon Hayward gets four for 120. Oh, you got Oladipo, who signed his deal. Kind of rank those deals on who won and lost.
So I love Ingram's deal. Yeah, I don't mind that at all. That's a really good deal. He's a young guy. He's an all-star in the West last year, which is very impressive. That's a good deal. There are some questionable deals. So Gordon Hayward's deal is probably the most questionable one.
Man, that's a lot of money.
I don't think it's the amount. I think it's the years. Like, giving him four guaranteed years with the history he's had is kind of wild. Like, if it was like three and an option, or if it was like two and an option for the third, I'm like, all right, but four full years, that's a lot of money. Even though he did have stretches last year where he looked really good, but with the injuries he's had and the age he's had, I'd be very careful with investing in him. I think that's probably the worst contract just because of the player you're getting. Like, he's not going to make another All-Star team. I'd be surprised if he made one. And you're paying him $30 million a year to do what? Finish ninth in the East? I don't know. To me, that one doesn't quite add up. That's probably the worst contract over this past offseason.
Also, when you look at those, there's a couple guys out there. One, Boogie Cousins. Boogie Cousins got the 1 year deal. What should we expect? Boogie's returning from some injuries. We know that. Can be a dominant player. Will he ever return to that? And what do you think of that deal and where he's at?
I don't think he'll ever return to that because, I mean, you know, Achilles and ACL and very tough injuries he's had to deal with, you know. And also, he's a guy that he's very skilled. You know, and that never goes away. But what made him very elite is he's able to do a lot of things athletically for his size that others couldn't do. So now you're asking him to try to get back to that form. It'd be very difficult. But the one thing I will say is I do admire his, you know, his toughness to come back from these injuries, because a lot of guys would have just packed it up. But tearing your Achilles is one thing, and then coming right back and tearing the ACL is another. He also had an injury when he was playing with the Warriors. He played with it. So he's definitely tough. I wish him the best. I hope he comes back and plays very, very well. I just think that the expectations kind of have to be tempered down a bit because his body's been through a lot over the last 2 years.
James, another guy that's had injuries out there. Smaller guy, had a flash moment. Tweets out that he's super healthy. He's healthy, ready to go. Is Isaiah Thomas? Do we see him anywhere?
I'm gonna have to wait for training camp. I don't see anyone giving up a guaranteed roster spot for a guy that just had hip surgery. I love IT4. I think that he's a good player when healthy, really good player when healthy. I like the spirit. He's been through a lot. However, small guards that can't defend in 2021, it's going to be very difficult to give them anything guaranteed or anything of value. It's unfortunate because, you know, when he had his moment was really big, but he got hurt. He's never been the same player. I've heard all the reports saying he's really good and he's getting back to the old IT. We'll see. But from what I've heard and what I'm seeing, we're probably looking at a non-guaranteed deal going into training camp if someone picks him up.
Speaking of Jameson Welch, basketballnews.com. Jameson, the Warriors obviously had the bad news of Klay Thompson. Klay Thompson out, the Achilles injury. They go out and get Kelly Oubre. What do you think of that? And I know it's not replacing Klay. There's no way you can do that. But what is that move, and what do you think of that move, and how does it help the Warriors?
Well, it helps them depth-wise. Whenever you lose to Klay Thompson, it's tough. I mean, he's another guy coming off an ACL and then tearing an Achilles. That's going to be tough to overcome as well. But you don't replace the Klay Thompson. You usually don't. Oubre probably gives you 60% of what Klay provides, and that's just not enough for the expectations they have, for the money their owner has to dole out, for the tax they're going to have to pay. So it's one of those situations where the Warriors, I give them their front office credit. They're at least putting together a formidable roster to try to compete. But it's just tough losing Klay, especially losing him around the draft. You know, it's one thing if you lost him in July. That's one thing. But losing him like the day before the draft or the night of the draft, that one is very tough because you really don't know how to prepare for that. Like, they made the right decision in getting Wiseman. That was their guy all the way along, and they stuck with it. But in order to proceed going forward, you got Klay on a max deal, and he hasn't played in 2 seasons. That's going to be rough going forward. That contract is up there with John Wall's contract, you know, that they always talk about. So we're going to see how that goes. But right now, it's a bad situation for the Warriors.
Jameson, also, there's another team out there. You know, you and I have talked a lot about Giannis and where he will be at the end of all this. Looks like the Bucks. The Bucks have tried to make some move to, you know, maybe persuade Giannis to sign that supermax deal there. Do you think they've done enough? Because reports are they've gone to cautiously optimistic to optimistic at this point.
We'll see. I mean, I like the depth that they have. I still got to see who's going to take and make shots at the end for them. But I like the depth. They're definitely a deeper team. If their coach decides to use that depth, that's another story. I think Giannis probably resigns there. Now, I don't know how long he resigns there for, but I think he probably resigns there. It wouldn't make any sense to go anywhere else right now because, like, I don't like the Miami fit. Everyone talks about Miami. The Miami fit, it doesn't exactly work right away. You know, I don't see him going to the Dallas fit would make sense. Dallas would kind of make sense, but I just don't know. Like, Golden State's not an option right now. It's kind of weird. He's a very unique player, and for him to just bounce, I don't know if that works. You know, so we got to wait and see. But Milwaukee seems like the place for him. and passing up $245 million is a tough, tough thing, but he's a guy that, you know, we'll see. You know, sometimes guys march to the beat of their own drum and make certain decisions, and we'll see how that goes. But if I had to put money on it, I would think he signs in Milwaukee.
James, a couple more for you chatting, man. Appreciate your time as always. Jumping into college football, the first college football rankings came out last night. Alabama 1, Notre Dame 2, Clemson 3 still sitting in there, Ohio State 4. Give me your thoughts on that Clemson's still hanging in there.
That's unfair. Like, I mean, how do you lose a game and you don't, like, you barely drop? Like, that to me is kind of unfair. But we know what this is about. We know this is a money making situation. You know, college football is about who is going to, you know, who's going to get the most views on TV, who's going to sell the most tickets in a normal year. So we know in a normal year, Alabama fans travel, Notre Dame fans travel, Ohio State fans travel. We know that those brands travel. So if they're in a big bowl game, their fans will show up and show out. So it doesn't surprise me. Kind of surprised that BYU's at 14, even though their schedule's been really difficult, or non-difficult, I should say. But, you know, them being at 14 is kind of wild because they've been pretty good, but 14 seems kind of out there. But it would be nice to see them in Cincinnati play. I think Cincinnati's really good. I've watched them play several times.
Yep.
But it would be nice to see a non-power five or six school get in the mix, but I don't think that's going to happen. I think we have a better chance of whoever comes out the Pac-12 being ahead of those two, and that shouldn't be fair this year, but that's what it is.
James, and last one, man. I know that the Raiders took a little defeat against the Chiefs, but, man, they played really well, man. They're sitting right there with their chances. They're still on the inside for the playoff there. Give me your thoughts, man.
The schedule gets very light coming forward. They have, like, the Falcons and the Jets. If they're able to take advantage of that, they'll be right where they need to be. If you can get to, you know, I believe it would be 8-4. If you can get to 8-4, you'll be in good shape. You know, if you can get there, you'll be all right. So if they, you know, they can take care of business versus the team they're supposed to take care of business with, they have the Broncos again. Mm-hmm. They have the Chargers again. That gets you two more wins. So, you know, that's 10 wins. I don't know who the other two games are. I know they don't play KC again. But that puts you right in the area of a playoff spot. I think if you win 11 games out in the AFC, the way everything's kind of jungled up, you should be okay. So they're in the right spot. They got to take advantage of the situation, though. They can't come out flat versus the Falcons. They definitely can't come out flat versus the Jets. Like, that's a no-no. But if they're able to take care of their business, they should be just fine.
James, always, man, appreciate your time, man. Hey, travel safe and have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. You guys as well.
That was Jameson Welsh right there at basketballnews.com @ the THE Jameson on Twitter. Thanks for listening to Greg Ethan Hooks. Everyone have a great hump day.